This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. Excited about the show today. I got a little special treat for everyone in studio. Let's go around the room. Well, first off, I want to thank our friends at Innovated Construction, one of the arms of the Innovated Companies, InnovatedCompanies.com. You guys had the opportunity to hear from Randy and his exceptional daughter, Stephanie, the business that they've built through their second generation here, just the tremendous work that they do on just about everything. And again, that's what they've done is they've taken all of their businesses and put them under one brand, Innovated Companies. It's kind of one-stop shopping for your construction needs. You'll hear about their different arms throughout the podcast for different segments. But the show is brought to you by, of course, Innovated Construction. They handle new construction, project planning, and consulting. They do residential, commercial, and industrial. They also help you with your land development. They'll do design build projects, new home construction, anything you need. That is your one-stop shop, InnovatedCompanies.com. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured, 35-plus years of experience in second-generation craftsmanship. Let's go around the room here real quick and introduce our panel today. As again, we have the gang here, so to speak. So my cohort in crime to my right, Steve-O's in town.
I am here.
You are here, yes. So, physically, and are you here mentally?
I am. Okay. And we got a lot going on, obviously.
Oh, there's a lot going on.
You know, as we're in the full swing here of baseball talks and then my Dallas Cowboys. So little plug, I'm going to do a Facebook Live show tonight with the Dallas Cowboys while they play the Washington Redskins on Thursday Night Football. So make sure you tune into that. But you know what? You're not sitting on your thumbs, on your hands, and not doing anything. For those people that have listened to our show for a long time, we got a pretty competitive fantasy baseball league here at Lineup Media Group. And what is this? You've decided to make a huge splash and move up salaries.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not waiting around for anything. You're going out after the top players, and I think that's what you want the Cardinals to do, right?
That is what I want the Cardinals to do.
So you're going to walk the walk after you talk the talk.
That's right. I'm going to increase payroll.
You are increasing payroll.
A lot, too. And here's the deal. Just like the big leagues, this isn't just bullshit. Okay, it's coming out of my pocket because have that salary, I'm basically paying double.
You are.
That's right. I'm investing in my team because I think it's worth it. Because people pay good money to follow my fantasy team.
Well,
we don't call it fantasy, by the way. Because of the way our league is structured, it's reality because it's real. We have minor league systems. You own guys' rights. You own their restricted rights. And then they become
– contracts.
Contracts, everything. If you can buy them out, but you got to pay cash to get out of the – it's tremendous.
It is tremendous. And I'm just happy to know that when you're on the show talking the talk, that you finally walk the walk. I'm a small market team. And I think I won the World Series, World Championship last year.
You did. You pulled a Kansas City Royal thing.
Absolutely.
You did, which was amazing, by the way. But, hey, you'll be happy to know that the next guy I'm going to invite in, I have extended 33.3% ownership in my team to.
No,
and that's one.
Are you cheating with an algorithm, guy?
How am I cheating? No. He's next. But I have started with my good friend. I have two-thirds of the team spoken for, myself and my partner in crime. My so-called silent investor that wouldn't be so silent is one Benji Molina on the M4byYachty.com. I invited him to be part of Vandalay Industries.
I thought you were going with Mo's.
Well, he's next, but I had to go first. First ride of refusal had to go to Benji. He's been with me longer. What do you want? Benji, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Steve-O, don't worry. I haven't said yes yet.
Well, hey, BMO, I've watched you play fantasy football, and I know this. I don't want you running my football team, let alone my baseball team.
Hey, he would be an investor and provide support. That would be his role in Vandalay Industries.
Okay? I don't think anybody wants my opinion as a GM.
That is not true, by the way. We have some questions this week, people wanting to know what you would do. So, I have officially...
I would do good in baseball, I think. I would do good. I think my experience will say that. But football, I don't know. I would see it.
You do football with your heart, don't you?
He does. He's a heart guy.
I was the second pick in the first time we won the draft, and then they moved me out to a 10 spot. So my team kind of took a hit, but I'll take it for the team. You know, next year, I'm on.
That's what a GM does. He stands up. A GM and a manager stand up there and take bullets for their team. But, hey, Benji Molina has officially been offered 33.3% of Vandalay Industries. I've given him, unlike the Cardinals with Stanton, I've given Benji 72 hours to come back to me with a reply. If he does not, if he says, Jimbo, I just can't do it, man. The wife said absolutely not, because I guarantee you that'll be what Mama will make the decision here, I promise you. But if he says no, you're absolutely 100% right. I will then turn my attentions north and ask one Mo's Algorithm if he would be interested in obtaining 33.3% of Vandalay Industries. So let's welcome in. And again, hear all show this week, because I'd love to get his opinion on stuff other than just metrics. Mo's Algorithm, what's going on, Mo's?
Hey, Jim, how are you doing today?
Hey, are you okay knowing that you've kind of, like, you're in the pecking order underneath Benji Molina? Are you okay with that?
I mean, he's a Gold Glover and a World Series champion, so if I'm right underneath him, I have no argument there.
I might just retain Mo's for, like, put him on a retainer for some analytics for my team. I fit into Mo's. I'm what he's all about. Small market, getting value for your dollar.
Hey,
you're spending. You got seven times the money I have to spend.
Seven?
Almost.
It's a lot. I put it this way. I can promise you this. Our draft, whatever day it is, they're going to make a movie about it, because it's going to be 24 hours of hell for everybody in the room. They're all going to shit. As the man said in The Walking Dead, you got your shitting pants on because you're getting ready to shit your pants.
Hey, let me tell you guys, I had Mo really, really up, you know, high, you know, because of the Cardinal fan and stuff. But now that he confessed to be a Cowboy fan, I don't know, man. I don't know. He's right down with Steve-O somewhere in there. So I gotta check.
And that'll be okay for him, I'm sure, because whether you want to admit it or not, you really like Steve-O. So I'm sure that's good. Hey, it's time.
It's not about liking, man. It's not about liking the guy. I like the guys. You know, that's not the deal. It's you know, where I hand you over because you're a Cowboy fan, man, and I don't know, man. I don't do good with Cowboy fans, you know?
I'm with you all the way. I love it. Nobody's happier than me when they lose, because I know how mad Cowboy fan gets. Hey, let's take a minute and turn.
Not in a mean way.
That's right.
Not in a mean way, but.
Especially when they lose to Green Bay. Especially when they lose to Green Bay. Things are great. Hey, I want to take a minute to.
I didn't bring that up.
No, you didn't. I did. You didn't. I did. I'll take the. If Yachty's mad, if any of your friends in your league, all those guys, if they're mad, they can all be mad at me. It's completely fine.
Hey, all the Cowboy fans that I know didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. I don't know why.
Well, we can't get Steve in studio on a Monday after they lose. Hey, everybody, make sure you listen to us. TwoBirdsOnABat.com is our website. It's where you can listen to the show. It's also where you can subscribe to the show, which is completely free. You'll get the show downloaded to your mobile device the minute it's released. Listen to it at your leisure. Of course, that's why you like podcasting anyway. Our big ask of you, with the holiday season upon us, do your Christmas shopping through Amazon. You simply go to TwoBirdsOnABat.com, find the Amazon banner down on the right, click on it. Takes you to Amazon. You're done with us. You do your shopping. Doesn't cost you anything extra. We get a very small referral to help us fray some of the production costs for the show. We would greatly appreciate that. The other thing we ask of you, check out our social media accounts. You can find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. The big ask, though, follow us on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Go to our Facebook page. Like our Facebook page. And then here's our real big request. Simply click Invite Your Friends. Your list of all your friends will pop up. You can scroll through it and simply invite the ones that you know are Cardinal fans or maybe are borderline Cardinal fans. Maybe we can help you bring them over to the dark side here, whatever you want to do. Simply invite your friends to like our Facebook page. We'd greatly appreciate that as well. You can find us on Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Be a part of our social media experience. We're happy to have you involved in all of our conversations. We really do appreciate those of you out there that when you see our show posted on Facebook or on Twitter, when you retweet it or when you share it on Facebook, it really helps us grow the show. We greatly appreciate that. The other people we can't forget, no doubt about it, we have some of the greatest fans that are involved in social media. It is such an awesome thing to see the conversations, the back and forth, even when it turns ugly. Fans seem to find a way to bring it back to reality. Thank you to all of our social media partners. It starts on Facebook with RallySquirrel.com, Nate McKendry's tremendous Facebook page. We're all proud to be a part of his Rally Squirrel Club here. You can learn more about the Rally Squirrel Club by going to RallySquirrel.com. For less than the price of a cup of coffee, you too can receive that premium podcast on your inbox each Monday, along with the great prizes provided by our friends at Fan Cave Sports. Be a part of the movement. Check out RallySquirrel.com. Chris Lawless, been with us since the beginning with Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7, two tremendous Facebook pages, tons of dialogue back and forth. If you're a Cardinal fan, I guarantee you've probably been in there. Our good friend Todd Hennister was with us a couple of weeks ago. I see him in every one of these Facebook groups having great conversations with Cardinal fans. I love to read the comments. It really gives us, really, at the end of the day, we talk about a lot of the things on here that people want to talk about, and that's where I see what you guys want to do. That's the great part of social media. Make sure you check out Arch City Sports. They share our stuff as well. Cardinal Freaks, happy to have them be a part of everybody's Cardinal fandom. And again, our friends at St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite. And newly on board, Everything STL Sports. Thank you so much, guys, for your continued support. And lastly, but not least, all of our friends at LineupMedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Could not do the show without their support. Again, you want to listen to what you want to listen to, how you want to listen to it, and when. That's why you're a podcaster. Make sure you check them out, LineupMedia.fm. They take your entertainment time extremely serious. All right, let's get into some baseball talk. I've got a theory, guys. I got a theory, and I'm gonna give you my theory. And then I'm gonna go around the room and I'm gonna let you shred it, or I'm gonna let you say you might be onto something there, Jimbo. You ready? You guys ready? Okay.
Let's do it.
We're on, like, what are we on? Like, I feel like it's a hostage situation, and we're like on like the news, the St. Louis News every night should lead with, we're on day 34 of the Stanton hostage crisis, because I know everybody feels like we're on hold. I think there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. We're not the only ones, by the way, okay? Some of the big dominoes, these are not falling. I know, Benji, you had mentioned today that a good middle reliever is off the market. I think the Cardinals have their eyes set on top-end guys, whether they be middle relievers or closers. But be that as it may, there's not a lot of movement right now, and you have to believe that Stanton plays a part in this. Rumors came out yesterday, and I love rumors, by the way. But I find this interesting because it goes back to something I have been beating the drum on for a while now. Giancarlo Stanton, evidently, according to people in the know, and again, this is not confirmed rumor, but some of these media guys are saying that they're hearing the Giants are willing to take all the money. Now, that's fine. I think we all knew that they would have to do something because they don't have the prospects. If you look at the prospects they're willing to trade, they're not even remotely close to the prospects the Cardinals are offering. So San Francisco was going to have to do something to put themselves in that position. Okay. Now, that being said, I am telling you this. I don't believe that for 1 minute, and let me tell you why. Okay. Now, again, now we're talking about playing chicken, and I've said all along, that when multiple teams get involved in the bidding for somebody's services, things change, things can go wherever. But I don't know. See, this is, I actually think, is good for the Cardinals. See, I think the Cardinals are really close to getting this done, and somebody's playing the Cardinals here. And I think it's Miami, because I think what's going on, again, this is my theory. I don't have any inside information, but what I believe is, and it, now this has been said, that the Marlins love the Cardinals package. They're trying to get the deal done. This is what they said. They would like to get the deal done for the Cardinals players that we've offered. My guess is that the Cardinals said, yes, we're giving you these guys, but you got to eat some of this money. So what do? They leak out, well, the Giants are willing to take all the money in hopes that we will maybe not take all the money, but maybe we'll say, you know what, we'll take more of it. And let me tell you why I believe it's a rumor about the Giants, all done to get the Cardinals to up their ante. I said this once, and I'll say it again. If somebody's willing to take all the contract, why didn't they claim him last August? All San Francisco had to do was claim him last August. The worst thing that could have, supposedly, that could have happened to them if they claimed him was Miami says he's all yours. Otherwise, I don't understand. If you're willing to take all the contract, why didn't you claim him in August and you get to keep your prospects? Somebody has to explain this to me. Okay, now, I'm also not naive. Now that multiple teams are bidding, maybe San Francisco says, whoa, St. Louis is really serious here. I guess maybe we're going to have to do this. But I got to be honest with you. We're talking about $300 million player. We're talking about prospects, an organization that is already near the bottom in the rankings for minor leagues. And the couple of prospects that they do have that are decent, they're going to give them away and take all the contract? I'm having a hard time believing that that's true. I actually believe this is good for the Cardinals because I think it's Miami that is leaking this, trying to get the Cardinals to come up because ultimately they like their players, but they're trying to get the Cardinals to take as much money as they can with them. I'm going to start to my right with Steve Flowers. You can shred my theory. You can agree with it, or you can spin it your own way. You have 2 minutes, sir. Go.
You know what? I like what you're saying. I think you might be dead on there, and that's what happens a lot in any business. Anytime you're in negotiations, you got to get the leverage, okay? And if you don't have leverage, you need to create leverage. We like playing cards. It's the same thing.
Scott Boras, that's what he does.
Okay, that's what it is. So yeah. That being said, I can buy your theory, but I'm still in sit and wait mode. We got to until something breaks, and Stanton's going to be the first domino, really, the big one, before everything falls into place. That's why there hadn't been a ton of movement out there. Everybody's waiting for what happens with him, and then I think we'll see all your other prospects and, free agents move and things like that, whether the Cardinals are going to add more. But I like where you're going with it. So, Senator, I'll yield my time back to the floor.
Okay, the floor then, it recognizes on the m4byyachty.com hotline, one Benji Molina. Benji, please shred my theory or expand on it or, by all accounts, agree with me if you'd like.
Well, it could be happening that way. I mean, nobody can know, but I don't see why a team is going to say that they're, I don't see why Miami is going to risk of saying that the Giants will take everything to put pressure on St. Louis. If it's not true, right? I mean, I don't see an organization taking that chance because nobody will want to deal with you if you're being shady with it and it's a lie, and you're just trying to get other teams to bite on it. I mean, nobody's going to do a business with you. So I don't think they're doing that. If there's rumors out there of happening, I think it's true. But at the same time, guys, last year, I know I heard Jimbo say, like, why last year they didn't pick him up and the salary and all that, right? If they want to eat their money. Maybe last year they weren't ready for it. Maybe last year they were like, you know what? I don't think it's a good idea. But maybe they changed their mind by this time. That's the only thing I can see. If they were ready to go like they are right now, yeah, they should have grabbed him, claimed him. But that's okay. But maybe they weren't ready for it. What I'm trying to think about here is I'm getting fed up with Stanton, man, the whole thing. If we have Stanton, and I hope and pray, I tell you this very seriously, I hope and pray that if something doesn't happen with Stanton, I hope and pray they have other options available and they have kept talking with other people, because there's other options that our team in St. Louis could be way better than last year. And there's many options out there that we can go through. So I hope they keep those doors open. I hope they still talking to people. But I'm getting kind of tired of Stanton, you know, not the player. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Stanton the watch. Yeah, you're tired of the – yeah, you want a resolution.
I want something done. I mean, if it's not going to happen, shut the door, man. Tell them to go to hell or whatever you want to say. Just, hey, man, this is done, whatever. See you later. Good luck with Stanton. And then move on, because there's other players. There's other really good players that we can add to our team to be in the playoffs, to make it to the playoffs, to make it over Milwaukee, or to make a difference over the Cubs, or maybe go deep in the playoffs. So there's a lot of options out there. So people, I hope they don't just lock themselves in and Stanton watch and things like that, because there's a lot more we can do.
Right, and I want to say this, and you said it too, and you kind of reiterated. To my knowledge, and to the rumors that are out there, Giancarlo Stanton has not been asked to waive his no trade yet. The Marlins have not went to him and said, "This." The Marlins are the ones that are still waiting to have a final deal that they've agreed to on the table to take to Stanton. So people that think Stanton's the one holding this up, he's not. They haven't went to him yet. In fact, confirmed reports now, the Marlins have told him, you may have to accept a trade somewhere or it's going to be everybody else gone and you're going to be here. Only out of respect for the fact that he told them, I don't want to be part of a rebuild. So they went to him and said,
well, he might be happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, he may change his stance. He may say, you know what? I don't want to go. I'll change my mind. I'll stay here and just be part of a rebuild. I mean, he may do that too. And if he does do that,
yeah, but
then
people as a team, like in this case, Mo and I forgot, I don't know how to say his name.
Grish.
So, if I'm them and if I'm the ownership in St. Louis, I'm like, dude, we have to move. Seriously, it's getting to the time where somebody else is going to step up, man. And it's going to say, hey, listen, all those players out there, Hosmer, Moustakas, we can even get Jose Abreu, man. That's a consistent guy every single year. He's a pro baseball. We can even get him and older players. And if we're going to be stuck in Stanton, which I wish and I hope and I pray that they're not, we need to move, man. We need to make a move, and I'm sure they're doing it, you know, in their own way. You know, I'm sure they're going after. But I'm just afraid that I hope and I pray that they're not stuck in Stanton only. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have a hard time believing after everything that they're not, like, on the phones doing what they need to do and they don't have backup plans. I mean, they've been linked to an awful lot of guys to have the stance of Stanton or nothing. I mean, I'm having a hard time believing. But, again, proof's in the pudding. We've said it once. We'll say it again. They will be judged by how it ends up, not by what their intentions were. And I've beat that drum to death, okay? I am tired of dry powder. I'm tired of low-hanging fruit. I'm tired of the reserves of cash that have been piling up in their storage lockers over there because they haven't went out and done this and done that. I've said on record, they have the money to do this, they have the prospects to do this, and more importantly, they have the need. And I want to reiterate this too, because I think there's a lot of people out there that are tweeting at me going, but Stanton's not going to be enough. Number one, I've never said he's enough. I believe the Cardinals have plenty of money and plenty of prospects to add Stanton, to fix the bullpen, and add another bat. Don't forget, guys, and I love him, you love him, Adam Wainwright makes a lot of money, and he's gone next year. Okay? That's a lot of money, what he makes, and he's gone next year. Okay? They have money. They have money to spend. Now, again, it's just a theory. So let me welcome in Mo's algorithm. Mo, you can take my theory. You can shred it. You can agree with it. You can do whatever you want to do with it. I don't know if this is something you put an analytical spin on, because we're talking about acquisition of a player, and it either happens or it doesn't happen. But your thoughts on my conspiracy theory.
I tend to agree with you, and the reason, one of the reasons why is in August, if you remember, the way the waivers work in August is Stanton was put on waivers, and he has to go through the National League teams first before he goes over the American League teams. The Giants had the worst record. That means they had first crack at him. They could have got him right there. And they had already talked about trading for him in July anyway. So I don't see, if they were willing to take on the entire contract, I don't see why they wouldn't have just put in a claim to at least have those exclusive rights to talk with the Marlins in August about a trade or just taking the whole thing from them. So I tend to agree with you there. I can see what Benji's saying about how they may not have been ready for that, but they had already been talking in July, with just like the Cardinals were, about trying to get him then. So I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of truth to this at the moment. And I think if someone's really willing to take the whole thing, I think the Marlins would take their players that they're offering and give them the whole contract just to be done with it. But I think they know where the Cardinals' limits are, and they know that once the Cardinals set a limit, we've seen it many years in a row now, when they set their limit, that's their limit when it comes to money. And I think the Cardinals are at that point where they've set a limit on money, but they're willing to work with players, and the Marlins want to give up the entire contract. So to me, that's where the stalemate's at, is the Cardinals are saying, this is the max amount of money we're taking. We're willing to give you a player A, B, C, D, and E. If you need to add another player, we can do that too, but we're not taking another dime. So that's where I kind of agree, where maybe them saying that's to get the Cardinals to push their money higher, but I just don't see the Cardinals doing it.
Yeah, and I want to reiterate something. I'm thinking back to some of the stuff Benji said as well, and I want to say something here. I'm making sure everybody heard me right. I'm not saying that the Miami Marlins are telling people that San Francisco. I believe that they have asked somebody to leak that, a certain reporter, to say, hey, you didn't hear this from me, and it's off the record, but, you know, San Francisco is willing to take the whole contract. That way it puts it out there. That goes on with everybody. Everybody does that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't believe for one minute Miami would come to the Cardinals and do that.
But he makes the organization of the Marlins look bad anyways. It doesn't matter if it leaks or who knows, but it's related to the Marlins. So a lot of owners will be like, hey, you know what? That looks kind of shady to me. They might be thinking that. Who knows? I mean, obviously, we don't know what they're thinking, but it could be just like that. And then other teams will be like, oh, man, I'm not doing a trade with this guy. And I've been in both sides. I've been in the office, with the owners. I've been in the office with the GMs and stuff. I know what they talk about, you know. I know what they're saying. Not always, but at least at that time that I went in there, I had a pretty good idea what they were saying, you know.
Yeah, and like I said, I just wanted to reiterate that part. Going back to Mo's and your thoughts, I've said this 1,000 times. I have to say this too. It absolutely floors me, the amount of people that think waivers are a joke. Somebody told me yesterday that they heard Rick Hummel say, well, the Cardinals probably didn't put a claim in on him, or the Giants didn't put a claim on him, because they knew Miami wouldn't just let him go, and they didn't want to waste their time on the paperwork. Somebody told me that Rick Hummel said that. Now, I didn't hear him say that, and I think Rick Hummel is a pretty sound guy. I mean, let's face it, guy's a Hall of Famer, right? I got to be honest with you. Number one, I don't believe Rick Hummel said that, but if he did and he was standing right here, I'd say you've lost your mind. These guys pay people a lot of money to do just this. You're going to tell me that they didn't put a claim on him in because they didn't think they'd get him anyway and they didn't want to fill out the paperwork? Listen, I've heard some silly things in my life, and I can promise you, if Rick Hummel said that, and I would tell him this today, and he is a somebody and I'm a nobody, if you believe that, you need to hang it up. You need to hang it up, because it's passed you by. Because I promise you, they have 100 guys over there at the stadium, interns, guys making 30 grand a year that can fill out the paperwork. Okay? I promise you that. And again, this isn't just a Giant thing. I said since day one about the Cardinals and whether or not I thought they would get Stanton, that the one reason I thought they wouldn't get him is because they're not willing to pay the full contract. And I point to the Cardinals no different than San Francisco. I point to the Cardinals the same way. okay? Just like Mo brought up, and I'm glad he brought it up because I don't think people realize it, the San Francisco Giants, this just didn't happen. They also have been talking about Stanton last year. So it didn't just come up like, oh, all of a sudden, okay? The Cardinals were linked to Stanton last year like a possible target, okay? So once again, if the Cardinals were willing to take the whole contract, why wouldn't you put the claim in? Don't tell me you didn't put the claim in because you knew they'd pull him back. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. All you've done is put a claim in.
They weren't ready for it.
All you've done is put a claim in. That's all you've done. And again, people say, well, it's just a claim, Jim. Okay, but the only bad thing that can happen, according to you, the Cardinals or the Giants, the only way this thing screws you is if you don't want the money and they say, he's yours. That's the only way you get screwed in this. All you did was put in a claim. But you don't claim him because you're worried they're going to say he's all yours. So once again, we're back to, do you really want the whole contract? Because that's the only thing. Mose, am I crazy?
Yes, and then you don't claim him back then because you are in this situation this year and you can get him right now.
But now you're giving prospects. And you're talking about giving the whole contract. It's silly. It makes no sense. If you're willing to take the whole contract, listen, if you're willing to take the whole contract, then you should have claimed him and kept your prospects. But you're not willing to take the contract because what you want to do is you want to give them prospects and have them eat some money, right? That's ultimately what you want to do.
If I'm the GM of the Cardinals and if I'm the owner of the Cardinal right now and the president, I don't take the whole contract.
I'm not talking about the Cardinals, though. I'm talking about the Giants.
No, I'm saying, I understand, but we were talking about claiming him, right?
Right.
If the Cardinals wanted to claim him or the Giants or whoever. And that's what they're thinking. Like, I don't care which team it is. I'm not taking the whole contract. And that's probably what is holding the whole thing up. Because nobody wants that whole $300 million for 10 years. Nobody wants it. I bet you anything, nobody wants it. If the Marlins are willing to take half of that in their own, a lot of teams will go in there. But I bet you anything, not many people, not many teams are going to go for $300 million for 10 years. Not many, man.
Well, now we've come full circle to the beginning of the statement, and that is this. The same team that could have done the same thing the Cardinals could have done, supposedly now, is willing to take the whole contract. And not only that, not only are we going to take the whole contract, we're going to give you our best prospects. Or at least a couple of our best. I mean, I don't know that they – I don't even – Mose, this would be a great question for you. Do they even have – they don't have a prospect in the top 100, do they?
I think Christian Arroyo is, but he wasn't involved in the deal.
Yeah.
So the guys that they are involving aren't in the top 100. But I'm pretty sure Christian Arroyo, their infielder, is still in the top 100 because the Royals – and the Cubs were the only two that didn't have one in the top 100 last time I checked.
So, so that's kind of my point, and that's where I was going with this. It wasn't a would you or would you. I've said since the beginning that I felt like the issue would always come down to me, it would be more about money than Stanton saying no. Now, he obviously can say no, but again, I also said that the Cardinals could make this really uncomfortable for everybody by forcing the Marlins' hand to go and do exactly what they've done, and that is to say to him, look, this is our best deal, and if you don't accept this, you may be stuck here in a rebuild.
So business-wise, Jim, what's the most powerful move?
The most powerful move for the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to come to that because it's our Twitter poll of the week. Let me come to it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it right now. It's our Twitter poll of the week. It was an interesting one, and it's the largest votes we've ever had. Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Innovated Heating and Cooling. We want you guys to make sure you give the other arm of the Innovated Companies an opportunity for any of your heating and cooling needs. They'll help you with new construction. They do full replacement on HVAC systems, residential, commercial, refrigeration, and walk-ins for those businesses out there for sure. Ductworks, they do preventative maintenance. If you have any inspection issues, give them an opportunity. InnovatedCompanies.com, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Our Twitter poll. Guys, this was kind of what sparked this for me. So I'm going to ask you guys what your vote is, and then we'll tell our listeners what it was. Steve-O, I'll start with you. The question was, should the Cardinals be willing to give up top prospects and take on all of Stanton's contract if, and I say if, that's what it takes. Should they or shouldn't they?
No. I really think the most powerful move is the takeaway. Take it off the table. You want to make somebody sweat? Take it away. It's real easy. We're not interested. We're moving on. You want to put the it's all about leverage. It's all about the negotiation. Okay, Miami, this is our offer. You have 72 hours, or we're moving on. And then you got to float out there that we're talking to Hosmer. We're talking to our pitchers from Tampa Bay. We're talking to all these other people.
Don't you think that's went on already, though? Don't you think that's why we're linked to every player, and you really don't believe for one?
It doesn't work if you don't do the takeaway.
But you haven't. Listen, I'm going to ask you this question before I move to Benji, and then you can answer yes or no. Do you believe yes or no that the Cardinals have not? Whether or not the Cardinals have told the Miami, it may not be on your and I's time frame, but do you believe for 1 minute that the Cardinals have not told them this is our, like, we have to be moved by this date?
No.
You don't think so?
It's a game of chicken right now.
Okay.
So I don't think they've given them a drop dead. And if they have, they haven't done enough to make Miami believe it.
Okay.
Remember, everybody knows the game.
Right.
It's who's going to blink first.
Okay.
Okay?
Benji, should the Cardinals be willing to give up top prospects and take on all of Stanton's contract if that's what it takes?
No. Okay. Not at all. I wouldn't move forward with it. I told you already, if I'm the GM and if I'm the president, nope. I would not do it that way. Why do I want to pay the whole contract and give you my prospect? Come on, man. That's like, I don't want to say it. It's kind of bad, but that's not happening if I'm the GM or owner. No, sir. And I'll move on to my bullpen, and I'll move on to maybe Hosmer, maybe Mustaka, whoever is out there, you know, and I'll get a couple trades. I'll use my prospects to get those trades that you wanted somewhere, and it helps your team anyways. So I'm not going to take my whole freaking $300 million and give yourself a prospect. Come on, man. That don't make no sense.
Okay, cool. Mo, should the Cardinals be willing to give up top prospects and take on all of Stanton's contract if that's what it takes?
No, I don't think so, because I don't think they have to. I think eventually Miami's going to have to just make a decision, and that's between the Cardinals and the Giants, and then they're going to have to go to Stanton and see what he's going to approve. I do believe, though, the Cardinals have set some sort of soft deadline, though, and I think we have about 10 more days of that window being open. December 10th is when the winter meetings start, and I think that's the time the Cardinals are going to start to pivot.
That's my guess.
Because that's when stuff's going to get hot and heavy at the winter meetings. I think you start to see more Abreu talk. I think you start to see more stuff like that go down, and the Cardinals aren't going to watch a bunch of players come off the board that they're really interested in, waiting around on this Miami deal. You know, this is a new ownership group. They've never had this kind of situation before. It's a bizarre situation to begin with. We haven't seen a possible trade like this since Alex Rodriguez was traded from Texas. So this is a very odd situation that Miami is eventually just going to have to make a decision on. And if they don't, you know, December 10th, when Gersh and Mo hit the winter meetings and start their shopping list, I think that's going to be the soft deadline for it.
Okay. On the other hand.
Jimbo, I got one thing to say.
Yep, go ahead.
To all of you, I think Miami, I want people out there that are listening to us understand one thing. Miami doesn't have the control on this. Don't for 1 second think that Miami has the control of trading Stanton. And I'm going to give you a couple of reasons. The reasons are Miami is trying to dump $300 million. Miami is desperately trying to dump those millions off to somebody. Please take those $300 million. So Miami is not in control. The teams that are in control are the ones that is going to say yes, the ones that are going to be able to say, here, I'll take it, or get the heck out of here, you're crazy, I'm not going to do that. So I think those are the guys that are going to be in control of the whole situation. So Miami is not in control. Miami is just waiting to see who's the sucker that's going to give me all the prospects and pay for the whole contract on these guys.
Good points. Okay, I'll finish before we move on with my thoughts on the poll. Should the Cardinals be willing to give up top prospects and take on all of Stanton's contract if that is what it takes? I voted yes. No surprise probably to most people out there. I'm going to give you my reason, though, which I think you're going to find is pretty consistent with my thinking on this. Here's why I think they should. And again, it's going to go back to what I've said all along, and that's this. The prospects aren't changing if you have to do the deal. And Mo, to your point, I put in the reason I put that in there, I didn't, you answered no because you said, because I don't think they have to. That's not how I worded it. I worded it, I said, if that's what it takes. So what I meant was, if you read it, if the Marlins come to you and say, look, man, here's the deal. We're going to take your offer, but you've got to take the whole contract, or we're going the other way. Now I'm putting you on notice. I think the Cardinals do it, and here's why. And again, I'm finishing with this because we can debate this all day long, but it's pretty simple. You were already willing to give up the prospects, so you have to take that off the table. You're already willing to give them away, and you've got more money than you know what to do with. So don't make this about the money. That's all I've said since day one. They are not a small market team. I'm sorry. We are a mid-market team with a big market team budget, whether you like it or not, fans. We have the money to spend. I am not letting them off the hook. If we have an agreed-upon prospect package, the money shouldn't be an issue. The only way the money's the issue is if you don't want to spend it. And if you don't want to spend it, that's fine because that's your business model. But I promise you, as I sit here today, fans are already letting you know that they don't think you're spending enough money. And it's showing up at the turnstiles, whether they're selling tickets or not. And what a lot of people don't realize is they sell a shitload of tickets over there, folks, for $15 for fundraisers. Okay? That will continue, but I promise you, the big money that they make over there, those people are starting to not show up. They've got the money. They better spend it. Time to move on. Otherwise, we can talk about this all day. We're going to take a quick minute and remind people, Steve-O, your wonderful mortgage company.
Supreme Lending, 618-655-0483.
Mose, I don't know if you know this or not, okay, but I know you don't live right around here. But if you want to go to Cardinals opening day, all you got to do is call Steve Flowers at
618-655-0483.
Ask him a mortgage question. I mean, you literally could call him and say, Steve-O, you know, I own a home where I'm at.
What did jumbo limits do?
What did the rates do? Or, you know, somebody told me I could do a balloon and I could take money out. I need to redo my bath. Just call and ask him a question. Yeah. And then you can be like, you know, I'm going to let him fill out an app on me and just tell me what he can do because I'm not committed to nothing. That's five more entries. You get one entry just for calling him. You get five for letting him fill out an app. And then if you wind up doing the deal with him, that's 20. But here's the best part. You can tell like five of your friends to call him and do the same thing. You get five more entries for every one of those guys that calls and say, hey, Mo's told me to give you a call. So there's endless ways to be registered. You get two tickets, Cardinals opening day 2018. You also get the excuse note from Benji, getting you off work, school, whatever you need, because Benji has declared Cardinal opening day a holiday in St. Louis. Did you know all this, Mose? I'm just curious.
I have heard it on the other podcast, so I'll have to get on that and start recruiting some friends to give them a call.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, we're going to hear from Steve and Emily for about 30 seconds. When we come back, we're going to start in on your Twitter questions, thanks to our friends at Innovative Company. See you on the other side.
Hey, Cardinals fans, this is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483. Or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal Housing Lender.
Great stuff as always from our friends Steve and Emily Flowers at Supreme Lending. One last time, Steve-O, they need to call you at
618-655-0483.
All right, moving on. Twitter questions. I love these. They're great. They're all over the board. People are always interested to ask a big leaguer some questions, so we'll be able to answer a couple of these. Here's an interesting one, Benji. I think you kind of touched on this, but I don't know if you answered this exact question. And this guy assumes, and is William Masterson at SWilly53. I'm sure you've spoken to Yachty this offseason. How does he feel about Stanton as a possible teammate? And is there anybody he would like to see, especially a pitcher on the team in 2018?
I have, but just very briefly. He loved the idea, of course. Everybody loved the idea. Who doesn't? It's very fortunate for us to be talking Stanton, because our lineup is going to be way better with him. But he's also in the mind of, if he's going to lock us up to not get anybody else, he doesn't want to do it, you know. So both ways, you know, it would be great to have him, but also if he's going to lock us up with the money, no, and then let's go and get three players instead of just one. Or let's go get maybe four players instead of just one. So it was very briefly, but he's up for it, of course. He's going to – who doesn't want Stanton in your lineup? So, but very briefly.
Any pit to follow up on his question at the end, he asked, did Yachty maybe mention any particular pitchers that are available that he'd love to see be a part of the Cardinals?
Right when the season was over, we had a chance to sit down, and we were going through which pitchers could help us out, and he had a very interesting ones. You know, he had the hand guy in San Diego. He liked Colome. He liked Nicasio. He wants him back. He had a few that he liked Ramos, at that time. Of course, this is months ago. So, and what we could remember at that time too. So he's a baseball freak. Yachty is a baseball freak, and he's always trying to get better our team, but he understands. He's not the GM. He's just throwing ideas out there to us, to me and Hosey, you know, just talking baseball. So, there's many guys out there that can help us, man. Many of them. Greg Holland was one of them that we were thinking. In the starting rotation, if you want to really make a splash, Jake Arrieta would help you big time. I know he's kind of like a hard-to-get guy, but because a lot of teams are after him. But that could be a guy. I mean, there's guys out there that could help us, man, all around.
Mo, I'm going to go to you on a question that you probably weren't expecting, and it may just be an opinion because I doubt very much you would have numbers right in front of you. The interesting name that he mentioned in there, and I'll tell you why, most of the other guys are guys that he's faced, right? And then he sat in the dugout and watched, and I'm sure a guy like Yachty and Benji will tell you, as a catcher, you watch those things, you see things that get you excited about a guy. The guy that he mentioned that intrigues me the most is Nicasio, and very simply because he had the opportunity to be around him for a month. He caught him. He was able to have communication with him and work with him. Do you have any particular thoughts one way or the other on Nicasio personally, Mo's?
Yeah, I want him back. I put in my free agents list that the Cardinals would bring him back. It sounds like that might not be the case now, because I believe he wants to close. And the Cardinals probably want more of a proven closer who's done it before more than a month. So, yeah, I would love to see Nicasio come back. I think he's got a lot of good stuff. I think he brings a fire to the mound, and he pitches a lot like Carlos Martinez, and I think that's why Yachty probably is a big fan of him.
Well, that's interesting. Like I said, that name, I like that name because – you know, it means a lot to me if Yachty's already worked with him and says, I like him. So, you know, maybe that's crazy. Thank you to William Masterson, SWilly53. Great question. Benji, I think this is a great question for you. He starts off with, because he knows how respectful you are and your situation. Without putting either one down, honestly, who would you feel more confident with as a backup catcher right now, Kelly or Fryer? We hear great things about Kelly, but his numbers were practically identical to Fryer's in 2017. for the Cards' future, I don't see either being comparable to Yachty.
Yeah, let me put it this way. Let me explain it to him to them very, very easy. Kelly needs to play, right? Because in their words, Kelly is the future when Yachty retires, supposedly, right? This is 3 years from now. Kelly is supposed to be the future unless somebody else comes up and beat him or you sign somebody. But anyways, in 3 years, you need this guy ready to go. Yes, he's going to be helpful behind Yachty and as a backup, but he's not playing if you have him all year as a backup. What they're doing to him, it's not mean. It's not being mean. It's not doing anything. What they're doing to him is getting him prepared for the fourth year from now on, right, from after Yachty. So if I were the Cardinals, I would just get Fryer or somebody like that matter. Fryer did a great job. I like that guy. I mean, I really, really enjoy watching him play. So, and Kelly is not a bad player. What I'm trying to say is he needs to go and get 400 at-bats in the minor leagues. Not because he deserves to be in the minor leagues. That's not the case. The reason is so you got to keep him polished. One of the reasons is if he comes back, if Yachty suffers an injury, hopefully not, but if he does, he's ready to play. Another reason is, like I just said, 3 years from now, the Cardinals have to make a decision, or Yachty, if he retires or so, who's going to be our catcher. So they have to take advantage of those 3 years as much as they can, have Kelly play the whole minor leagues there in AAA, and then have him up at the end, or a little earlier if they want. That's okay. But at least let him have 300, 400 at-bats so he can be prepared 3 more years. Or 2 more years, and then have him back up the third year of Yachty. So now he's prepared for the other year, so he can become their guy, if he's their guy. So for this question, who do I prefer as a backup? It's kind of tricky because Kelly's, you're not helping Kelly by having him all year as a backup. So Fryer will be the guy, or whoever you sign as a backup. We don't know who's a backup right now is. So If you have that guy, I'd rather have that guy than Kelly for the reasons that I just said.
Great great points, and that's from our friend Jeff Niehaus at underscore, fly the L underscore. Obviously a big Cub fan there. I love the fly the L. Moving on to the next one. This one's interesting. So kind of get this is just your general thoughts, and this is pretty vague, but at GS Animus, do you think Yadier would have any interest in becoming a manager for the Cardinals after his playing career is over?
Yadier's already a manager, man. I don't know why he doesn't have to have any interest. I'll tell you that right now. He doesn't have to have any interest to do it. I think Yadier's already a manager. He's not managing St. Louis. Don't get me wrong, please. He's not trying to manage over Matheny or anything like that. No. His mind is already a manager. If you guys have a chance to sit down and talk baseball with Yachty, he will be 3 questions ahead of us. And that's what makes the great managers valuable. Every time I talk to him, he has 2 answers. Right when I ask him the question, he already goes like 2 times or 3 times over me. And he's already ahead, way ahead of me. That's why the same way I feel about Oquendo, I feel about Yachty. These 2 guys, they're amazing. Their baseball IQ, the baseball, knowledge, it's totally, totally ahead of anybody that I ever known in baseball, including Mike Socha, which I thought he was the best manager I played for. I think it's these 2 guys, it's way over that. So I don't think he needs to have any urge to manage. I think he already have it.
Great stuff. Last question, and we can kind of go around the room here for everybody on this one. This one's kind of good. We'll start with you, of course, but Steve-O probably might have a story or two here on this one. From Zach Smith, at Zach Smith, NLR. The question about numbers last week, and I think he's referring to, we were talking about the fun question about Oquendo or Rodney DeYoung, Steve's favorite player, who would wear number 11. At Benji Molina, doesn't strike me as a real superstitious guy, but did he or any of his teammates have any funny, weird rituals before games?
Oh, wow. I seen them all, man. I probably shouldn't mention names, maybe just in case they get offended or anything, but I had guys that they had to go right before the game, 20 minutes before the game, they had to go and eat Oreo cookies. I had Eckstein. You guys know Eckstein. He has to step up in the stairs the same way. He has to do the same warm-up routine in the on-deck circle. He had to step into the box the same way. I have a bunch of people that did the same thing. I have Pablo Sandoval with the batting stand that he had to tip his toes. I don't know why, but that's make him feel comfortable, of course, as a superstition. I have a pitcher that nobody could talk. I had a pitcher that had a glass of water right before he stepped out of the dugout. I had a pitcher that had to spit the water out when he was coming from the bullpen every single time. I had a pitcher that never changed his warm-ups. Two fastballs here, two fastballs there, one curveball, one changeup, and two fastballs. That's a superstition. I could go on and on with mine. I think those are my best ones. I don't know. I have so many of them. I've seen so many. I've never been superstitious in my life. Never. Never. So I never believe in any of that. I believe in my abilities. I believe in God. And whatever happens, happens. But I never believe in any superstition.
Steve-O, you cannot wait to speak.
First and foremost, not having a superstition is a superstition in and of itself. So, the one that the one that I've carried probably the longest is being on the infield after they throw it down to second to start the inning, and we throw it around. I always spit in my glove and rub it in, always. And that's the one I've had for the longest. But I've gone through so many with batting, you know, whether you do deep knee bends or you pull the bat over your head or you take the swing or that. I mean, you can watch Carpenter, you know, kind of do his swings. You used to watch Skip Schumacher fix his batting gloves.
Oh, I hate the word.
Yeah, 1,000 times. There's so many. They're comical. They come and go. And, I mean, I used to wear a gold safety pin and a stirrup. Moved to the back of the hat, was in the shoe. Every once in a while, I'll find one, put it in. Doesn't seem to work anymore, but that could be the extra 20 pounds I'm carrying now, too. But
hey, let me tell you, people, it's nothing wrong with it, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not against superstition either. I mean, if you have them, go for it. You know, that's all up to you. I just don't think about it, that's all. But I'm not against it.
Yeah, no, I get it. They're fun to watch. They're fun to watch the idiosyncrasies of each player and try to pick up on them. I mean, that's the kind of goofy stuff when people say they don't like baseball or baseball's boring or whatever it is. Sometimes they're just not watching for certain things that make it funny, make it humorous. And those are things I kind of pick up on when I'm just sitting in the stands trying to be a fan sometimes. So I love the superstitions, and I always like hearing the stories from ex-ball players on what they did, and if they even know that they do it a certain way, or if it just becomes such a habit that it is who they are.
Good stuff is always. I have a superstition. You know what it is?
What's that?
You curious what it is? When I want to know. Anymore now, because I'm converting guys a little bit here, okay? A little bit. I'm trying to get smarter. When I want to know if a guy is a good fit on paper, I'm going to go to Moe's Algorithm. It is time now for bow ties and sweaters with Moe's Algorithm, where analytics meet the eye test. Moe's, what do you have for us this week to talk about?
I saw a rumor the other day, report actually, that the Cardinals were linked to reliever Brandon Kinsler. And for a variety of reasons, I'm not remotely interested in this, and I hope it's not true. The first one being his god-awful strikeout rate. He is a sinker baller. He is a very, very good sinker baller. But I think for the way the Cardinals are constructed defensively and just the overall makeup of the bullpen, I don't think this is the closer that they should be looking at. I prefer to see a closer that can strike guys out and take pressure off the defense, not put pressure on the defense by asking them to convert three ground balls in the ninth inning. That's just
Hey, Mo.
I'll turn. Yeah.
I got a question for you. How about Albers and Shaw? Albers, don't fall asleep on Albers. He pitched for Mike Maddox, so he might be pushing on him too. So Albers or and Shaw, those are good options, man.
Yeah, I would agree with Shaw. I haven't looked into Albers a lot. I can dig into that a little bit. Some of the guys that I did want to bring up were obviously Juan Nicasio. He had a strikeout rate last year of at 24.7%. Brandon Kinsler was at 13.5%. So while someone like Nicasio is striking out one out of four batters, Kinsler is right around one out of eight batters. The league average for a reliever is a 23.3 strikeout percentage. So he's 10% below that. I don't understand why they would be linked to this guy. Their defense is not set up for a ground ball closer. You're asking for trouble if this is your closer.
Exactly.
He has a strikeout rate lower than Seth Maness. If that tells you anything, right there,
got out of town in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, if this is someone they're truly interested in, then you're asking Mike to be your closer. And if you're okay with that, then that's Brandon Kinsler. He's a decent reliever. He could be a middle reliever. I don't want this guy in the ninth inning.
My question to follow up, because you mentioned it, okay? So I want you to expand on it. And I've said this 100 times. Benji has talked a little bit about it. How is it a guy could be a good middle reliever, seventh inning, eighth inning, but he can't close? Like, you don't – like, explain why he fits better in the seventh or eighth inning versus the ninth, if you can, analytically.
I think it's more of you're running out of time, you know. In the sixth, seventh inning, if he comes in and gives up a run or two, you still have time to make that up. You know, he's still a good pitcher. He's just not someone – in the ninth inning, I want someone – who can take the pressure off the defense and get strikeouts and get that. I don't want balls batted in play in the ninth inning because I don't want things to happen, bad things to happen. And all it takes is for someone to put the bat on the ball for something bad to happen. So I like to limit risk in the ninth inning, especially when you have the lead. And
I think it's also mental.
Yeah. There's definitely a mental aspect that you can't account for analytically, because there's been guys who are brilliant in the eighth inning and then are jokes as a closer in the ninth. So the term closer, I don't know what that means sometimes, because you know you can close out a 3-0 game pretty easily, but that may be different than a 1-0 game the next day. So analytically, though, I think you want to limit risk in the ninth inning. And you're not doing that with someone like Brandon Kinsler who doesn't strike guys out.
Interesting stuff. I appreciate that. I've always kind of wondered, the whole thing about a guy that can get guys out in the seventh and eighth inning and can't get guys out in the ninth always makes me wonder. Now, on the flip side of that, we have seen guys have some success in the ninth inning that don't strike guys out. Is it... and Benji, I'll start with you on this one, and then I'll let Mo give the analytical part. Is it because of a certain pitch they throw that, while it's not a strikeout pitch, it's nasty, and although it's hittable, it's not – as long as they're on, it's just you can't do anything with it?
I think a closer has to have at least one pitch other than the fastball that is a swing and miss. How's that? If you don't have a swing and miss pitch – I don't really believe that you could be a closer. It's because, like Mo said, you don't want too much contact in that inning. You want weak contact or no contact at all. So think about Davis. Davis has a quarter inside to the lefties that is untouchable when he have it, and a slider down and in to the lefties that they don't even touch. They touch his curveball when it's low into the strike zone. They can touch that. They can touch the fastball when he's behind in the count, But if he's on that cutter inside the lefties and the slider back door, I mean, he's untouchable. Think about Holland. He has a swing and miss pitch, and that's the slider. People don't recognize it. So they think it's a fastball. The ball's in the dirt. You're swinging at it. I mean, you got to have guys that swing and miss pitches. For me, I mean, this is my opinion. You have to have guys that swing and miss stuff for the ninth inning.
It doesn't always have to be a fastball, right, Mose? I mean, I'm thinking of a guy like off the top of my head, like Andrew Miller. Is his pitch that's not a fastball? I mean, it's so nasty. Can you hit it? And if you do, you can't do anything with it?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be a fastball. A lot of guys have that are that electric out of the pen have a nasty slider that, you know, down and away to righties, and they just wave at it. And Kinsler does have a slider. He just doesn't use it as a get-out pitch. You know, he uses it to get weak contact, but he doesn't use it to strike guys out. His main pitch is his sinker ball. And again, I just, you know, you're asking for three ground balls because this guy just does not strike guys out. And sure, he doesn't give up a lot of hard contact, but he also doesn't give up a lot of soft contact. He rated last year at 55.2% medium contact. So those are the balls that I'm talking about that are hit just hard enough to get a seeing eye single up the middle, and now you have a rally started. I'm not interested in a sinker baller as a closer. What's that?
That's awesome. What you just say, Mo, it's awesome because it makes sense. You don't want to have – if you don't have that great infielders, like, why do you think the sinker ballers are good in Cleveland? Because they got good defense. You know, they played great D. But when you have a team that is not great on defense, you don't want to have a guy throwing ground balls, man. It's going to make it hard for the team. I'm with you there. And it doesn't have to be a fastball. You know, if you think about it, the pitcher that – shoot close should have the fastball. That's number one. But the fastball, you should have it. But you have to have another pitch that is a swing and miss pitch older than a fastball. You know, you have to have it. If you don't have it, those are the closers that have trouble. Jensen, he has that fastball, but that fastball is a cutter at 94, 95 coming at you. And then he has the sinker ball going the other way. Mariano Rivera, he had the big cutter, but he also had the outside cutter. I mean, you have to have other pitches, you know?
Yeah, it's good. And like I said, as we get into this, and more players are available and more players are options for the Cardinals, you know, they're going to do what they can to improve. But at the same time, and I think what Mo has demonstrated today is, while a guy may help you a little bit, is he that much of an improvement? And that's kind of where I've gone with some of these other things that have gone on. Like, I think the Cardinals have their eyes set on bigger fish than some of these guys, and hopefully they do. I don't know. I mean, like I said, at the end of the day, they've got some holes to fill, and it's not just one, and that's what I've said all along about the Stanton thing. Good stuff today, guys. Really enjoyed the show. I want to thank our partners, everybody at Innovated Companies, all three arms of the tremendous corporation there at Innovated Companies, Innovated Construction, Innovated Heating and Cooling, Innovated Electric. They do so much for our show and allow us to bring you guys this content. They allow us to let you guys be a part of it by jumping in on the Twitter polls and Twitter questions. So thank you very much to them, of course. I want to remind everybody to make sure they check out our social media partners. We couldn't grow the show without them, of course. RallyScroll.com, Nate McHenry. We wish him safe journeys on his travels as he's out helping people in other countries. He's such a great dude. And if you want to learn more about the Rally Scroll Club, go to rallyscroll.com and join. Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, our good friend Chris Lawless, everything he does for the program, Arch City Sports, Cardinal Freaks, St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, and of course, newest to the group is our friend Arch City Sports. Thank you so much for everything you guys are doing there. Not Arch City Sports, everything STL Sports. Thank you so much to them as well. Again, couldn't do the show without Steve and Emily and their wonderful company, Supreme Lending. One more time, that phone number.
618-655-0483.
Mo's Algorithm, who joins us every Thursday. Today he was with us on the whole show. Mo's, I hope you enjoyed it, jumping in on some of the conversation. I do want to say this, too. We seem to forget to mention this. For all of our listeners that are listening, especially those of you that either want to get a little more educated about numbers, you may totally disagree and love to have conversation. you may want to learn a little bit as far as players and things like that. You do a really good job, and you really, and again, that's why we picked you to do this. You kind of aren't the ass about it, so to speak. So if you want to follow you on Twitter, you can learn a lot about certain things. What's your handle there on Twitter?
It's Moe's Algorithm. It's at MOZALGORITHM, Moe's Algorithm.
And I believe you started a Facebook group.
Yep, and at Moe's Algorithm there too, MOZALGORITHM, at Moe's Algorithm.
Thank you so much for joining our show and being a part of it. And the weekly segment, bow ties and sweaters with Moe's Algorithm, where analytics meet the eye test. People are really enjoying it. Thank you so much. Our good friend Benji Molina coming to you from the M4byYachty.com hotline. Benji, I know you're doing a lot of different things right now, out motivating people to be the best they can be, to be kind to people, to do things. I heard you on the Kickin' Life Guru the other day. It was a great episode. Another positive guy. You spend every day taking a little bit of your personal time to spread a good message. For our listeners, how do they follow you on Twitter and Facebook?
Oh, I'm very easy. Benji Molina 1, but the Benji, not J-I, it's G-I-E, Benji Molina 1. Man, they can follow me everywhere. It's fine. I'm just trying to touch hearts, man, that's all.
Yep, good stuff. You do. You give a lot of your time to just try to help lift people up, and we appreciate you being a part of the show. We thank your brother and his wonderful company, M4byYachty.com. Make sure you give them an opportunity. Lots of good stuff going on over at M4byYachty.com with Christmas here. Once again, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Do your Christmas shopping through Amazon by clicking the banner on our site. We get a very small referral. Subscribe to our show through there. Again, check us out on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. You can find us on Facebook. That's our big ask of you. Go to Two Birds on a Bat. Like the Facebook page. Click invite your friends. Their friends list will come up. It'll have a little invite. Click the ones that you know for sure are Cardinal fans, or if you have borderline Cardinal fans, we'll help get them all the way over, trust me. Click invite your friends. We would greatly appreciate it. Follow us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. For Benji Molina, Steve Flowers, Moe's Algorithm, Innovative Companies, all the great people associated with our show, and the wonderful group at lineupmedia.fm, including our producers Brian Croc and Andrew Allen, we tell you, let's go Cards!
Go Bird!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.